This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Islam, our khutbah today is a reminder about planning and preparation. And this is something that we are in need of in every aspect of our personal life and our public life. We see many times we don't plan in advance, so our only course of action is to be reactionary. Every time the Muslims in Palestine are being massacred, then we try to reach out to officials and people in charge. But when nothing is happening to that degree, there are no groups that are aggressively approaching senators or congressmen. There is no group that is aggressively lobbying for Palestine. It's only when they're being attacked and massacred that people try to bring it to the public view. In a similar way, when it comes to elections, so many people now are panicking and complaining about what is happening in the government. But what about voting? What about doing something about it before it happens? Even in simple things, when we construct masajid, we don't consider the growth, the future growth of the community. So you visit masajid around the country, and you'll see they built a structure that is insanely small. And now they have to demolish it and in order to build something bigger. But why don't we project the growth of communities? Why don't we plan and prepare properly? And this is a lesson that was given to us a very long time ago. And in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Indeed, your Lord is Allah who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And then he settled upon his throne. The Jumhur, the majority of the ulama, say the 6 days are like our 6 days in length. Others have the opinion that the 6 days, each day was 1,000 years long. And others explain that al-ayyam in Arabic doesn't necessarily have to mean days, but it can mean periods of time. And Allah knows how long each period is. So six of these periods of time. But the question is, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create the heavens and the earth in six periods of time? And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power and the capacity to create something instantly. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something, He just says to it, be, and it becomes. And there are many ayat like this about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Allah will say, be, and the thing becomes. So why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take, for lack of a better term, take His time in creating the heavens and the earth? And there are a number of explanations, but we're going to take this one from Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah, from his tafsir. He says, quote, he, meaning Allah, he taught deliberation to his slaves. Because if the one who does not make mistakes created the universe in a deliberate manner, then it is more appropriate for those who are susceptible to making mistakes to do things in a deliberate manner. Yani for us, and we make mistakes, then we should plan and we should prepare and we should do things in a deliberate manner. We also see this planning and preparation in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Al-Madinah, the Jews of Medina, they were in control of the markets. They could monopolize, they could raise the prices however they wanted, and the Muslims were at their mercy. So they didn't just sit and complain about how they have no control and the finances are not in their hands. The Prophet ﷺ had people physically going around the city of Al-Madinah looking for an appropriate location to start their own marketplace. And when we talk about the size of these marketplaces, the Jews of Banu Qaynuqa, they had in one huge marketplace, they sold food, wheat, barley, dates, and they had up to 300 stores selling gold, 300 jewelers. But the Prophet ﷺ had them look and found a location, and he even put a perimeter around it. And then he chose a second location, and that is right at the entrance of the city. They didn't just sit back and complain, but the Prophet ﷺ taught his ummah to go out and do something about it. Let's look at the example of the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many people think that whoever got his things together would start heading to Medina. But it was very carefully planned. No one just left to Medina from Mecca. No one just made the hijrah. People would come, they would go in organized groups. And no group would leave before getting permission from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then they would leave under cover of night. So everyone who left, it was planned. It wasn't just whenever you're packed, you can leave. Then look at the hijrah and the planning of the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was on a Friday, and the Thursday before, as you know from the story, the leaders of the Quraysh gathered together and they decided to have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam killed, but it will be by different members of different tribes so that the blood is dispersed amongst them and the responsibility. So the Prophet ﷺ, the Jibreel alayhi salam comes to him and he says, لا تبت في فراشك الليلة. Do not spend the night in your bed, in your room, in your bed tonight. So the Prophet ﷺ has to go quickly to Abu Bakr and inform him of the fact that they have to make the hijrah. Now look at the precaution and the measures taken here. The first thing, the Prophet ﷺ went to Abu Bakr at the time of Dhahira. The first thing is, this was not a time he usually visited Abu Bakr. That's the first thing. The second thing, those of you who have lived in the Middle East, or you know, at the time of Dhahira, it is so insanely hot, there's not even a living animal outside in this time. So he chose a time when there was less traffic and less of a chance for him to be seen by others. On top of that, the time of Dhahira, and there's no one out there anyways, the Prophet ﷺ covered his face and then covered his head, and then made it to the house of Abu Bakr without anyone seeing him. And then when he entered, he tells Abu Bakr, أخرج من عندك. Yani, I'm going to talk to you in private. I don't want anyone to hear it.
So Abu Bakr then tells him, they're my family. May my mother and father be sacrificed for you. Ya'ani, the Prophet ﷺ is telling him, I want to speak to you alone, no one can hear. And then Abu Bakr says, it's okay to speak in front of them. They won't do anything about it. So look at all these precautionary measures. The plan is then he tells Abu Bakr of the plan to leave immediately to Medina. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu tells him, take one of these two rides of mine. Taib. You see this trickle down? Even Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was fully prepared. Why? Because he came, once he was packed and ready, he came and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for permission to go to Medina. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to wait, perhaps Allah will choose a companion for you. So Abu Bakr understood that I might be the one to accompany the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the hijrah. So what does he do? He just waits until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to him. He had two camels ready to travel at any moment. And how do you do that with camels? And it's the equivalent of having a car with a full tank of gas and the oil is changed and it's ready to go. So he had these two camels. No one stressed them. No one worked them. Water was available to them. And they naturally make sure they're fully satiated. And he made food available to them. So they were ready to go at any moment. He had them prepared ahead of time. So when the Prophet ﷺ came to him, by surprise or suddenly, unannounced, he was ready and he had two rides ready. So the plan in bullet points. The Prophet ﷺ is not going to sleep in his house that night because they're going to plan to assassinate him at the time of Fajr. So Ali radiallahu anhu slept in his place. And he would stay with the house with Abu Bakr that night. Then the Prophet ﷺ will stay with Abu Bakr for part of the night and then leave. So you have people who wake up early and you have people who sleep late. And then there's some hours in the night where neither of the two are awake. That's when they left. Look at how they prepared this trip. So they leave when there is even less traffic in the depth of the night. And then they will leave from the back of the house of Abu Bakr. Why from the back? Because they know this is his best friend and he might be with him. So they leave from the back of the house. Then there are two routes to Medina. One is very well known and the other is very difficult. And it's towards the Red Sea. So it's the safer one because they will not expect to be looking for them on that route. That's the one the Prophet ﷺ chose. Then they need a dalil, a guide that is trustworthy and experienced and knowledgeable, and someone that the mushrikeen will not be suspicious of. So they chose Abdullah ibn Urayqit, who wasn't even Muslim at the time, so no one would suspect him. And he agreed to do the job, and they agreed to pay him for it. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're in Mecca, and they're heading to Al-Madinah, which is north. He went south for 5 miles or 8 kilometers. He goes south. Because when they find them missing, where will they look for them? On the way to Medina. But the Prophet ﷺ went south in another direction. Then they stayed in the Ghar of Thawr. And Al-Ghar, in English, we translate Al-Ghar and Al-Kahf both as cave. But there's a difference. Al-Kahf is a cave which is cavernous and huge and it can accommodate a large number of people, or possibly up to a large number of people. But Al-Ghar is an opening that's only enough for two people, barely enough for three. So when you imagine they stayed in Al-Ghar for 3 days with no space to move around or breathe and nothing to do or to stretch, it's incredibly small. But look at the patience. Then they stayed in Al-Ghar for 3 days. Like, why not 1 day? Because in the first day, the search is intense. And the second day, it's still intense, but not as much as the first. And by the third day, it starts to die down. Now they need someone who is going to bring them the news. So Abdullah ibn Abu Bakr, he was a young boy, but he was precocious, which means he was mentally ahead of his time. So he's at an age that's so young that the mushrikeen of Quraysh would speak in front of him freely without concern, while he was understanding everything. And he would come at night, stay with them, and he would give them the news of everything that's happening in Mecca. At the same time, Amr ibn Fuhayra, the freed servant of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, would bring the goats and they would cover the tracks. He would cover the tracks of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr and the tracks of Abdullah ibn Abu Bakr as well. And then for food and drink, Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr, would bring food to them. and no one would suspect her. One, she's a woman and they're going to be watching probably the males. The second thing, no one would expect her because she was in her last trimester. She was pregnant and in her last trimester. No one would expect her to go for 8 kilometers or 5 miles outside of the city and climb up the mountain to give them food. So you see every part of the plan carefully prepared by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are just two examples, and every stop of the seerah you find careful planning and consideration by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a lesson for our ummah that we should have learned 1,400 years ago. And this does not contradict tawakkul, putting your reliance upon Allah azza wa jal. As the scholars of Islam, rahimahumullah, very eloquently put it, they said, "At-tawakkul amal al-qalb." Tawakkul is an action of the heart, which means you plan, you do everything possible, and all the while your heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah عز وجل for His forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for His forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. On the way to the cave or the ghar of Thawr, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu narrates, he says, "For a while I would travel far behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, thinking, what if they catch up with us from behind? So at least that way they catch me and the Prophet will be alerted and he will get away. Then I think, what if they catch up with us? What if they come from the right side? So I start to travel from his right side for a period of time. Then I think, what if they come from the left? So I start to travel far to his left. Then I think, what if there's an ambush ahead? So I'd start to travel way ahead of him." And so Abu Bakr continues, right, left, back, front, while all the while, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is just making dhikr of Allah, and he's extremely calm, and he's on his one path, while Abu Bakr is shifting around him constantly. Fast forward to the Battle of Badr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making dua before the battle. And he's making dua, and he's raising his hands so high that the cloak falls off of his back. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the one who comes and picks it up, and he puts it on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, "Enough of you calling upon your Lord. Allah will give you what He promised you." So the scholar said, "What is the difference? Why is it that during the Hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was calm, and Abu Bakr is the one who is worrying about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? While here at the Battle of Badr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making so much dua." And the scholar said, "The difference is," and it goes back to the point of our khutbah, "for the Hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made every preparation that was humanly possible. There's nothing that was overlooked. Every preparation a human being could possibly make, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought of it and he prepared it. So there was nothing left but just to connect your heart with Allah and be calm. Well, at the Battle of Badr, an-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not expecting a battle. He took 313 men to intercept a caravan that was guarded by 60 men. How much do you have to prepare for that? They didn't even bring heavy weaponry and armor. And so when it became a battle where they're meeting an army three times their size, then the Prophet ﷺ made up for lack of preparation with a lot of dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. With that, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us of those who recognize the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it. And to make us of those who recognize falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'ah. Wa arina al-batila batilan warzuqna ittinabah. Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt. Wa'afina fi man afayt. Wa tawallana fi man tawallayt. Wa barik lana fi ma a'tayt. Wa qina sharra ma qadayt. Innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk. Innahu la yadhillu man walayt. Wa la ya'izzu man adayt. Tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayt. اللهم بلغنا رمضان اللهم تقبل صيامنا وقيامنا اللهم تقبل صيامنا وقيامنا اللهم اغفر لنا أجمعين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في غزة. اللهم انصر إخواننا في السودان. اللهم احقن دماءهم واحفظ أرواحهم. اللهم ارفع عنهم البلاء. اللهم ارفع عنهم البلاء. اللهم أبرم لأمة الإسلام أمرا رشدا يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويتاب فيه على أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء. وصلى اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.